This is a big deal. This is a big deal right now. Can you guess anything different about me?
Okay, I see a red hat. Audio listeners, there's no words on the red hat. Do not worry or celebrate, depending where you fall,
So
listeners.
that's the whole point. I bought this hat. This is a red hat with a white drawing on it, right? And it's a tuk-tuk, which is like these little like kind of like an automated rickshaw. So like in if you're in India, they have like these mini, cars can get smaller in more dense places. Like in America, you're always like cars are, big and stuff like that. And then even just being in Asia, you're like, oh wow, like in Japan, like there are lots of small cars. And in India, it gets really small, and they have these things that are like almost like a hybrid scooter, but you can ride in them. So this is a tuk-tuk that I got at an Indian restaurant when I was doing my travels for Cheap Eats. So I was like, oh, this is really cool. They had some really cool merch. It ended up that the very same restaurant had a location that we ended up shooting later that year. So it was very random. But I got this hat and I got this shirt, and we used to play this game where we would make a symbol. Again, this is we're becoming very visually oriented. I realize the podcast has listeners. It's true, we do. But the shirt had a symbol like this, okay? This. And this was a game we would play to get someone to look like, oh shoot, is there something on my shirt? And then you look, you see this, and you're like, oh, you got me. Now, this is also 2017, and also happening right now was a very new political movement here in America, where a hat that looks just like this became very symbolic of Donald Trump's, really just of Donald Trump, make America great again. And then this was also, I think the Proud Boys used this. So anyways, I had this shirt and I had this hat, and all of a sudden I was like, I'm saying something without my intention of saying it, and I'm being really careful about how I'm wording this right now, because that's the whole point, Neil. I was like a guy who was like, I feel like I carry enough baggage having an Arabic name, even with a Greek middle name. It's just, I'm like, there's too much for me to try and explain. I'm weird enough. I'm not the person you want to explain big issues to. Maybe being a dad, because that's that I feel comfortable with. But big stuff, world events, religious strife, terrorism, beef tallow. Okay, you got me on beef tallow. I can definitely talk about that. But recently, I said I'm gonna wear this hat. I went downstairs, and Brearley's like, "You're wearing that MAGA hat," and I'm like, "No. I'm just gonna wear this hat now. We're just gonna go with it." And I'm realizing in this current climate, and I'm being real. See, I'm navigating here. I'm not gonna get into it and just say this or that, but I'm like, I'm just gonna wear this hat, and maybe we will stir the pot. Because Lord knows it works on TikTok. I did it for the thumbnail, Neil, and I did it for us. That's it. That's the whole thing.
I'm processing all of this.
I know.
You said a lot. You said a lot. A lot of which I'm also, editing in real time in my brain. And I think I can create a clip that loops of you saying, "Make America great again." And now I'm realizing I just said it too, and it's a good thing you don't have access to the editing software.
But AI does, so we'll see what happens.
Ah, point
I
taken. You
know.
know what? I'm gonna bleep it. I'm gonna bleep it. You won't be able to use it.
Yeah. Just blur your whole face out. It's fine. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, the thing is, this hat I got in 2017, it's in incredible condition. A lot of my hats, I haven't
Probably
been
because you
wearing.
didn't wear it much because you were afraid of what people would think.
Basically, yeah. 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 No, you know, and like then you have to explain it, and that's always been a thing for me. It's like I really don't want to get, you know, do I have to really, you know, yeah, this is, yeah, it's not a pass. I'm gonna pass on the whole thing. It was enough being a young brown man when 9/11 happened. That was enough. That was enough. You know, I had to get on the plane. That wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. This is before global entry. Now, I feel as American as you. I really do. That global entry made me, yeah, it took me back to like at least 99, maybe 98.
Oh, I see. Because your shoes are on.
Yeah, just a little extra scrutiny, just a little extra conversation I'd have at the old plane.
Right. I want to go back for a second, because you had mentioned the you kind of glazed over it, the Proud Boys.
Yeah, those guys.
Those guys. And, I don't know if you've ever heard me wax poetic on the Proud Boys, but one of the most fascinating things to me about the Proud Boys, besides their racism and anti-Semitism and misogyny and homophobia and overall violent tone and seeming lack of basic human decency, the most interesting thing to me about the Proud Boys is that they called themselves the Proud Boys. Like, it's so telegraphing to me an absence of a strong father figure in their lives because no one ever told the Proud Boys, "Hey, I love you, son, and hey, you're doing great," because they had to kind of find it for themselves and go, "We're proud.
Yeah,
We're
that's
proud
it.
boys, and
I
we'll
mean,
show you, and the way we'll show you is we're gonna march into your neighborhood and we're proud boys." So that's my read on the Proud Boys, is they just need kind of somebody to say, "Hey, buddy, you're doing great. Like, you don't have to be a racist, sexist asshole. Like, you could just come on, like, join the party, like, be cool, like, have fun with us. Like, we're all equal here. No one's nudging you out.
You know what's
Let's
weird? Like, I
hang."
don't know like them that well, but I feel like I'm periphery aware of it from Vice from the early days of the magazine, because I feel like the founder of Proud Boys. I'm gonna end up having more questions than really answers. It's strange pod here. But you know what? I put on this hat and we've changed everything. World's Greatest Dad Podcast, still a dad podcast, but you know, sometimes you go on to talk about boys who seem to maybe not have father figures. I feel like, and I don't know, but it seems like, because Vice started in LA. I remember like the magazine came out, and this was like kind of the era of zine. Now, they weren't a zine, but it was like, you know, people were looking for alternative media. And this was, the internet was not nearly anything like it is now. So, you know, you still were absolutely willing to look at anything published, right? You know, paper in hand. And, you know, I remember someone going, "Check this out." And it was almost like, you know, finding out about independent films. You know what I mean? Like, oh, dude, this is not mainstream. And, you know, remember like Vice would kind of pop up and stuff. And I remember its association in LA. And then I think about, and I don't know, and this is kind of news clips and stuff, but living in LA for a long time. And then you think about some interesting figures that have come out of a place that is essentially a big, diverse city, right? Stephen Miller, right? The Proud Boys guy. And like, is it like, is there something in this identity? Because you kind of brought it up and kind of nailed it. Like, you have all these guys that like don't feel strong individually, right? They're like, they need each other and they need to like get into this thing and have this motto and then ultimately their manifesto, because they feel disenfranchised, right? You know, like why do these guys feel powerless? That's the thing, you know, is like people who just are like, "I'm so tired of feeling powerless." And I'm like, yeah, I didn't really expect to feel anything else, you know. You know, I'm just trying to maybe get a little sugar, then a little bit of power. But I feel like there's something in there about these people that were just like collectively like, "I'm tired of feeling powerless." You know what I mean? And then when they got together, Proud Boys was the best name. I mean, they didn't have ChatGPT, you know. This is early. Like I said, zine days, zine era. But I think, I don't know, it's really funny. It's like this whole, the fact that they came out of Southern California, and also this is stuff in the news too. It's just crazy. I'm buzzing on new stuff here. Like, I had an interesting conversation about how, you know, in the post-2020, really like the redistricting of American population, you have people who have, frankly, say, for example, fled California because they're unhappy with the politics, right? And they're going to places. Famously, in the news just now, it's buzzing, is the woman who founded, or not founded, her the woman whose family founded In-N-Out Burger, ubiquitous classic California, Southern California drive-thru burger chain, is moving to Tennessee, you know? And I just had a conversation yesterday with a food writer friend based in the South who grew up in Southern California, talking about how a lot of conservative folks who have had their fill of California and Gavin Newsom are going to places like Tennessee. I don't know, just a lot. I put this hat on and all this stuff came out. I'm willing to take the hat off and really just focus on being a dad. But, I put on the hat a couple days ago because I was like, I'm just going to try this out. And I spent most of my time, I guess, in the public sphere, avoiding, like, heck, getting into anything near this. But I feel like, you know what, in 2025, I'm going to talk about it. I'm an old man. I'm allowed to have an opinion.
The gloves are off. You're like canceled Colbert. You're like, hey, I'm going down swinging, baby.
You know what? I feel a little Colbert right now. I'm just going to say it like it is. I hope you were ready for these big, hard truth bombs I dropped, mostly at peak with this hat.
We do not have the same exit package from Paramount, unfortunately. And so there's only downside for us being honest and vulnerable, as I'm learning on TikTok. And that's okay.
How do you feel about that? Guys, everyone who's a huge fan of the podcast, Neil's getting it, right? You're getting it. How's that feel? Let's talk about it.
It's an interest. It's interesting. And I'm trying to kind of work through the feelings. I think what I'm learning in doing this podcast is that all the things people have been saying about the internet are true for the most part.
Yeah.
It is a great tool for learning and bridging countries and bringing technology to the masses and kind of creating a lowest common denominator for people and finding our common shared humanity. And also very often an anonymous, faceless dehumanizer where people are not quite given the same grace that you would give them if you were, say, in line together waiting for a burger at In-N-Out. And that is kind of part of it, right? I think we're here putting ourselves out there for better or worse, you know? And I think I think what's interesting, and I have to sit with this because I want to talk it through, and I'm sure we'll talk about it many more times because I don't go to therapy anymore, and that's why I'm talking to you. But the idea that I'm looking for praise for, you know, that people can keep saying, like, you're looking for a back pat, man. You're looking for people to say you're pretty great. And I have to be honest, who doesn't want that, you know? And perhaps that is why we put our stuff out. Perhaps that's why we talk. I want to believe that we're talking for a deeper reason, because we're trying to learn and be better, and maybe sometimes get a little old, proud of you, son, you know, like what the Proud Boys didn't get. But I think it's like it's so interesting that people are angry at me for saying that I used to be kind of a jerk in certain situations because it's what I learned, and then I had to learn how not to act that way, and people were like, "You're still a fucking asshole." Yeah, look at your smile. And, you know, like pretty intense things. And I also have to check myself and go, I've been that commenter. I've been that commenter calling bullshit on the clip, on the person, you know? Yeah. And so here I am, Neil Jason Padover, 40 years old. I don't have all the answers. I may not have any answers, but I can assure you, I'm me, and I'm trying to do my best. And maybe that's not good enough for you. Maybe it never will be. And you know what, commenter? That's okay. It really is okay.
I feel like, you know, realizing that this is new territory for you and knowing that, you know, I've gone through it before because, you know, people will, you know, certainly say things about anyone who's on TV. But the funny thing is it was always when I was really stepping out of my own kind of, quote, comfort zone, I guess. Like, it was never like Cheap Eats where I would get the big flack. But if I stepped into the adults pool, like when I was on Chopped, I had a, you know, it was pretty exciting to be on it. You know, I'm on the show and I posted it on my Facebook page, not my personal page, but my, you know, my TV host guy page. And this guy wrote and he goes, "You're the worst judge ever. And I've seen every episode." And then one time I decided, and I still do it because I think it's funny. I looked myself up at Reddit. Not a lot of stuff about me and my show, but when I had hosted a Spring Baking Championship the first time, yeah, there was some really good, because this was like when Cheap Eats was really going, and like, yeah, they were just scorching me. But, you know, that's what ultimately like Reddit is and what it's for. But when I look at all that stuff and I realize, oh, this is new to you, I also can say, like, well, this isn't new to me because I was picked on and made fun of in school. In fact, I got into, like, doing theater because I was like, you know what? If I'm going to be demeaned or not taken seriously, I'll just be a clown on stage. And all of a sudden, I was like, ah, okay, cool. I accept you now. So, you know, it's like, and I don't really have a thick skin in a way. Like, you know. And there's a sad clown in here that, like, hurts. But at the same time, it's kind of, I don't know, it's like, yeah, I will say this. I've also been the person who can throw shade. Throwing shade really gets you nowhere. The real sad person is a troll under the bridge. That's the saddest person there is. It's not even a person, but you get my idea.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to bring it all back to fatherhood, and here's how. Right?
What a disaster. You're going to
be impressed.
Yeah.
You know, I first of all, I do think you have a pretty thick skin, and that's, you know, because you developed the coping mechanisms to be funny, be light, be chill, you know, like.
I thought you meant like drinking. I was like, I'm working on that.
Yeah, well, we're not going to talk about that. That's for that. Did you see that thing pop up on your schedule? We're all going to kind of be there. That we'll talk about it there.
What's this? Why is everyone here? Awesome. Amazing.
No, I think you do have a pretty thick skin because, you know, you can take. So I think you have to be able to take a joke because otherwise what's the point in living? You're just like everyone's going to have to walk on eggshells around you your entire life. That's no fun. No one's ever going to be totally honest or authentic with you. Yeah. They're just going to say, yes, Mr. Trump, whatever you say, you're gold. You're like, come on, like, let's be real. So bringing it back to parenting and people just screaming at me on the internet for being a piece of shit that they think I am, you know, and realizing I could do a few different things. I could ignore it. I could yell back at them. I could get defensive. I could engage somewhat respectfully, which I tried to do. And I think about my kids who, not all the time, but sometimes are screaming at me and calling me names and not wanting to brush their teeth or not wanting to get into the shower or not wanting to leave the park or getting mad because I said they can't have another candy or we can't play another, you know, game of Mario Kart or any number of infractions that are just so unforgivable to them. And they're yelling at me as if I, you know, drained their entire life savings like Bernie Madoff or, you know, killed their dog. We don't have a dog, so I can say that. And I think, okay, what do you do in those moments? Do you I'm telling you, you're one great. No, you go, I see you're upset. And I'm really sorry. That sucks. I know. You want another piece of candy? We can't have another piece of candy right now. We gotta go. I get it. I get it. It stinks. I'm here with you. And then sometimes you just don't talk. You just sit there with them. Sometimes you give them a little pat on the back and you say, hey, proud of you. Hey, I love you. Hey, you're doing great. And then usually they calm down. Now, will these internet commenters calm down? I don't know. I hope so.
I kind of don't. I think it's given us traction. I think it's a good thing. You know what I mean? And I think you do too. You know what I mean? There's like, you know, Neil the Dad. There's Neil the Dad and Neil the co-host of World's Greatest Dad. And then there's Neil who's pulling the levers behind the scenes, who's just like, it's working. It's working. Yeah, you know?
Yeah. I was going to say I wear many hats, despite you being the only one in frame wearing a hat at the moment. Speaking of being dads, because we are fathers, we came to do this. I think we were texting. You said and speaking of potentially being canceled, you were like semi canceled by your son recently. Can you talk about that?
Wait, I was? What happened?
Didn't you walk into his room and you said a thing that you can't say anymore and he kind of
schooled you? Oh, right. Oh, yeah. You're right. It's so funny. It's like, that was so lighthearted. Well, yes. And the thing is, it happens a lot. You know, I am Gen X. We were definitely raised a little more wrong. You know, I think we're starting to show the wine spoiled a bit. You know, I don't know. The cork is seeped. So, my son, as I've mentioned before, is a huge gamer. And part of being a gamer is playing these very complex layered games where, like, I'll come into his room and I spend a significant amount of time watching him play the game. And, you know, this is something I choose to do. It's how we spend time together. And these games are a far cry from, like, even the Super Nintendo games where it's like, okay, it boots up and we're playing. It's like, okay, cool, and it begins. And then you watch, like, a 10-minute film, you know, and you're like, okay, I better get comfortable. Like, I'm usually like, I need to get my feet up. It's a big thing. Cutscenes, they call them. So then he's like, all right, now we're going to create our character. And I'm like, okay, cool. I mean, I remember when I would play Nintendo and it would be like, do you want the guy in the blue pants or the brown pants? That was it. We are designing this person like God designed Adam out of clay. You like that biblical reference? I mean, we're picking skin tone, eyebrows, everything. And, you know, like complexion, aka race, is up there too. And I was like, oh, yeah, you know, what race are you going to use or you going to pick? And he goes, and he said, what do you mean race? And I'm like, you know, like, you going to make him like an Eskimo? And he goes, bro, I mean, with a, like on a dime, he goes, bro, you can't say that. And I'm like, oh, are you supposed to say like Inuit? And he's like, yeah, that's about right. I was very impressed on a number of levels. One, that he just, you know, he didn't even remove his gaze from the screen. He was just like, bro, you can't say that, A. B, I was impressed with myself when I had an alternative, like Inuit. Don't know where that came from. I don't know anything about the Inuits. You know what I mean? Except that maybe that's what you call a person that one would call an Eskimo, maybe back when we bought Alaska. Okay, I'll just leave it there. So I was really pleased with me coming up with Inuit. Big word. Not a big word, but a good find. A good pluck. And then he rolled and he goes, yep, that's about right. And I was like, wow, he just knew. The most complex part was explaining, like, what race are you going to pick him? And that was the hard part. And then once we got into the nuances of Eskimo is not PC and Inuit is the preferred nomenclature, dude, it was like, wow, you know, this is where we were at. So that was a really wonderful moment. And like any great moment in between my son and I automatically think about this podcast and go, man, this is gonna be a great little nugget. Can't wait to tell Neil about this. Excuse me while I go text him. I swear there are times where I'm like, he's in the room right now, And I'm like, yeah, I gotta do this thing. You're gonna be fine, right? So while I'm recording World's Greatest Dad Podcast, I'm ignoring my son. Check.
You know, maybe the commenters are right about us.
It's a great, really, the purpose of this episode is for us to get scorched on TikTok. I think that's totally fun.
Yeah, scorch us. Hey, what do you think about the Coldplay affair?
I mean, obviously, I can't get enough of it. Neither can the internet. Neither can all of us. To me, the most interesting thing about that is the firm, once again, another massive reminder of what we are really watching, what's really connecting us. And it's Doom Scroll. That was a, you know, it's Doom Scroll. You know, like, for me, what I look at that is all we have, you know, I grew up with the clicker. One of our TVs did not have a clicker, so I did have to go up to the TV and go two dials. We had two dials. But, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, all we're doing is zipping through, thumbing through our phones, looking for something, and all of a sudden, we all caught one thing that caught our fancy, and there we go, you know? And it's so weird. Part of me is like, who even cares if it's real? You know, there's a time where I was intrigued by the story. Now I'm just enjoying the phenomenon, you know? It's like, oh, yeah, that's the thing now. That's the thing now. It's kind of amazing that, you know, there's children. You know, there's spouses and there's all this real life stuff connected with it. But to me, the reality of it is how this is what's occupying our consciousness, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I would argue, feel bad for the kids, for sure. That sucks. And they are going to have to deal with the fallout 100%. Not fair to them. That aside, it's not that I don't feel bad for the spouses. I actually think this incident did them a huge favor because either the affair wouldn't have come out or it would have come out in a way that would not have been advantageous to them because clearly these are pretty manipulative folks, Andy and Kristen, the head of HR. And the way I know that for sure, in addition to just the anecdotes that have come out from people who've worked for them and said they were terrible bosses, is Andy Byron's statement. Did you see his statement that he issued?
Okay, so that's what I did want to pick up. And again, I speak to ultimately the phenomenon of our era we're living in, because I did see the statement, and this is what I want to talk about. I saw it, I read it. For those who haven't read it, he basically delivers this very composed, like, long three paragraph, let's call it 170 word response, instead of just saying something like, man, I fucked up and I'm a real shithead to my own family. Oops. You know what I mean? There's that. That's the truth of it. But, you know, this big long-winded thing. And then at the very end, or towards in the last paragraph, he's like,
I'll just read it because I have it up. He goes,
wonderful.
I also want to express how troubling it is that what should have been a private moment became public without my consent. I respect artists and entertainers, but I hope we can all think more deeply about the impact of turning someone else's life into a spectacle. Hold the phone. Private moment? You're at a concert! Have you never been to a concert? Have you never been to a sporting event? Surely, Andy Byron, you're not an alien, or perhaps you are, although I think you show signs of being a damaged human, but a human nonetheless. And Andy, there are these things at sporting events, they're like on TV, concerts, oftentimes they videotape them, sometimes then they'll put them on like HBO or Netflix and say the Coldplay concert, sometimes they show shots of the crowd. And by the way, when you bought those tickets, and when you walked into that stadium, there's like signs that say, you may be photographed, you may be, and Chris Martin said, hey, I want to meet some of you now. Make sure your makeup's done, because we're going to put the camera on you. You had a heads up! And you thought, baby, hey, how great is this to be out here with me, Andy Byron, CEO, huh? Hey, you like this? Not how your husband does it, huh? The CEO of that other company. it's me, Andy Byron. You know, Chris Martin, why are you putting the camera on me? Yeah, well, sorry, Andy, because that's what going to a concert is if you're a normal person whose biggest flaw is just liking Coldplay, then you're fine. But not you, Andy. Andy Byron, you paid. And you paid in a way that perhaps you think was unfair. But it is not for you to decide, Andy. It is for the commenters of TikTok to decide all of our fates.
Look, there's a lot I can say. I think, first of all, I think it's worth acknowledging. I know another dad that made a large screen appearance. He did it intentionally. And he is the definition of a world's greatest dad. And that's the dad I'm talking to right now. That's the difference. See, when you go to an event, you don't have to write an infographic on social media going, you know, I wish people would just think about what it's like for people who are attending these events that maybe they're not wanting to be in a public event, even though it's in public, in a giant. And also, I know he was up in the bleeds, but he was at the balcony. You know what I mean? You know what? He could have done so many things. You could have worn this hat and just been like that. You know what I mean? He could have been that guy. You know, haven't you seen, like, Jason Bourne? Jason Bourne, he would have been, like, wearing this hat. You know? Like, yeah. So much for a smart go-getter CEO. But I did want to say this. When I saw that, I, too, had a lot. I was like, bro, are you kidding me? You have no leg to stand on. But then I realized, is this real? Because it makes a lot of sense for someone to just come up with that just to trash the guy for likes. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that's necessarily wrong. I mean, I guess it kind of is wrong, but I could think of worse things. I can think of way worse misinformation. But I did, frankly, go, this is too easy. You know what I mean? This is too easy. There's no way this D-bag wrote this. You know? There's no way. Still a D-bag, but I was like, this, it's too good to be true. Part of me said that. It's too easy for someone to do that. We are going to do that. That is what we're going to do. We're going to come up with our own Andy Byron statements. We've been toying with the Substack. Just a little teaser. We're still working out the kinks, a.k.a. a lot of work to do. But maybe just to test the waters, Neil and I will take stabs at what it would be like to be Andy Byron's, you know, PR, like publicist. So, Andy, Ali Khan here. I know you're talking to Neil, great guy. He was on the Jumbotron at the Mets game. Yeah. I'm going to take a whack at what your statement should be. We're both going to give it a go. I'm going to have a lot of fun with this. We're going to decide, and maybe we'll have you guys vote, all six of you, who should be Andy Byron's publicist going forward. Ali Khan or Neil, did you say Neil Jason or Neil Patrick?
Whatever you want. Jason is my legal middle
term. Jason's good. It's real
now,
good.
Now all our listeners know one of the answers to a security question, so.
Jesus. You got to change that AAA password.
Yeah. Ali, let's go to the mailbag, huh?
Let's go. It's been too long. Is it full?
Damn. Oh, it's overflowing. I have to, I have to get a storage unit for all this mail. Dan from Austin, your neck of the woods. Dan from Austin writes, Ali, grilling is my therapy. But every time I fire up the Weber, my neighbor wanders over like clockwork to check on things and drop in with unsolicited advice, like he's the ghost of barbecue past. My wife thinks I'm overreacting, but I can't keep pretending his secret spice rubs don't give me hives. How can I grill in peace without starting a suburban beef?
That's a tough one. It's a tough one. Our neighbors are everything. They can be our best friends or our worst enemies. I've had my fair share of grilling neighbors and kind of at times unwanted social interaction. Best example is this. Look the gift. You don't want to, what is the phrase? You don't look the gift horse in your mouth. Yeah, don't look the gift horse in your mouth. Perfect example for me. It's just perspective. It's just perspective. The short answer is you're going to have to just deal with it, all right? It could be worse. Maybe the guy will move. I don't know. But I'll say this. Same property, literally across the way from what I'm looking at. I had an old neighbor. And, this was a couple years ago. The TV show was on. I think he kind of would peek over sometimes and he'd just start talking. He was that guy. He'd talk. He'd be like, "Oh, hey, what's up?" He was a tall man. He could actually go over the fence and stuff like that. And we would chat. He'd find out a little bit about me. He knew I was cooking up something tasty or whatever. And that's pretty much what it was. One time, was very nice. He invited me over. He's like, "Hey, we're watching the football game. If you want to bring something, that'd be great." I went over there. He was very, very nice. Look, it wasn't my idea. He's definitely not my best friend. I will tell the truth. I had a little bit of regret. I had just come back from New Orleans. I got these beautiful meats from a very special, famous butcher shop, and I was like, "Oh, cool. I guess I have this. I can bring it over." And I brought it over, and it was just him and his buddy, and they were preparing what they were preparing, and I had wished I had brought this unique culinary ingredient to a chef or someone that may have fully appreciated it more. Because I remember eating this going, "This is so good," and I've wasted it. But that was that. He's a very nice guy. And I say that in retrospect because I got a new guy. The new guy's not so nice. The new guy is I don't know what's going on with him. He's got some wires loose. He'll start using the leaf blower right when I'm grilling. He's maniacal about his leaves. One time he was like tossing trash over the fence. He squirts the hose at our next door neighbor's dogs. Like, the guy's a bit of a problem, And so I can say to myself, yeah, the old guy was a little annoying, but he was an angel. Literally an angel compared to the new guy. So, neighbors are blessing and a curse. They could be your best friend or your worst enemy. I don't think you've got the latter. I would just say here and there, here's a good example too. The little white lie. I'm sure Neil's done these a few times, like, "Oh, hey, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm just cooking. I can't chat too long. My wife's not feeling well. She's got this weird bug, and I think I'm starting to get it too." Maybe drop a little thing like that, like, "Oh, yeah, I hope this. It's just weird. I think I'm getting this weird virus." Usually something like that, just hinting in the idea of some sort of like viral contagion, might kind of go, "Oh, wait, hey, feel better. I'll catch up with you next time." Maybe something soft, just to kind of softly exit the thing. Because at the end of the day, you don't have a bad neighbor. I know what that's like. So that's my answer. Suck it up and pretend like you're sick.
Okay. Well played, Ali Khan. Well played. Let's go to another male or female listener. In this case, I'm going to assume male. His name's Ethan from Chicago. Ethan writes, "Here's the deal, Ali. My kids are 6 and 9, and they're starting to catch on that I don't actually know how to fix things. I faked hanging a shelf before, and now it's become a running joke that dad breaks things and mom fixes them. I want to preserve the illusion that I am at least somewhat handy, but YouTube tutorials are failing me. How can I embrace my inner DIY fraud without losing my dad cred with the kids?"
Chicago guy, I totally forgot the name. The kids have caught on. There's sharks and there's blood in the water. That's just the truth of it. But the thing is, the key about being a world's greatest dad is We don't have the luxury of giving up. We are Rocky Balboa. We're, the new Creed, the young Creed. We get up off the canvas, we shake it off. Maybe we take the eight count, but we get back in the fight. As an example, there are absolutely things that, I typically lean on my wife to do, like most things, being a breadwinner, groceries, pretty much fixing things as well. But here and there, I've had my moments where I have figured something out just out of necessity. It is very easy for you to get a little bit better if you try. And honestly, like, I have literally heard my son say, "Wait, you made this?" Like, perfect example. Really, my wife, he's mom, makes the pancakes. That's her job. I will go grill. I will fire up the fire and throw the animal flesh on there and beat my chest, right? That's the rule. The other day, I was like, "I'm gonna make the pancakes. I'm gonna do it." Now I made them. I didn't say I made them. I put them on the plate. The first ones didn't come out great. The second, third round, the griddle was hot enough. Later on, I was like, "How are those pancakes?" And he goes, "Yeah, they're good." I was like, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah. Why?" And I'm like, "I made them." He goes, "No, you didn't. Mom did." I'm like, "No. I set it up like mom did, so you wouldn't think it. But I made them." You will win points. You gotta earn them. You gotta earn them. You gotta watch a few more of those YouTube videos. But your kids are smart. They're getting older. They're gonna get it. You gotta step up your game. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just about going, "Oh, yeah, I'm in it for the long haul." You gotta keep fighting. You gotta learn how to make pancakes. You have to learn how to make pancakes. It's. Oh, and by the way, I didn't even use the mix. Oh, wait. Maybe I did. Yeah, I used the mix. But I was willing to use flour. So yeah, you gotta make the pancakes. That's the answer. Make pancakes, and that's how the shelf will stay on the wall.
Okay. Ollie Trevor from Denver writes, "Ollie, my daughter's starting to show the same anxiety I've struggled with now my entire life. She stays up worrying about things like whether she answered a homework question perfectly or if her friends are mad at her, even when there's no reason to think that they are. It's heartbreaking because I recognize every spiral she's going through. I've lived them. I want to step in and help. Part of me is terrified that my own anxiety has somehow rubbed off on her. How can I balance wanting to protect my child from something that I still haven't fully figured out for myself?"
I sympathize with this a lot. I feel like we deal with this very much right now, especially in the era of 13, and even honestly from the transition, fifth, sixth, seventh grade. All this stuff has been happening, but really just like, being there for the mental health assist, dealing with the fact that your kid is starting to experience more complex, nuanced elements of a relationship and coming to the realization that kids can be mean, especially when they turn into preteens and teenagers, right? So, you can't make another kid like your kid or not like your kid. You can't take away like the mean act that has happened there. I would, look back to your own past and go, what was those sources of strength? And I would say, look, it's those moments where there was some person who was there to advocate for you or stand up for you. And it doesn't always happen like 3 o'clock high. No, that was a bully fight. But Lucas, no, I don't know if that, I think all those 80s movies ended up with physical altercations. We're not going to use the movie analogy, but the truth is when I think about a time where someone's kind of stepped in on my behalf, it was just, when there was some voice of reasoning that just advocated for you. And I think that's something you just have to develop and foster as a skill. So something I know I do is like, especially for somebody who can just yap and yap and yap, zip your lip and listen. Just be there. Be there in the room. I mean, obviously, respect the space, enter when you're allowed to enter, and just say, "Hey, is there anything you want to talk about?" Zip. And you may not hear anything right away, but it will work. It will. What you got to do is start establishing this opportunity for your kid to be able to share painful things. Okay. And they want to, but it's hard because just like it's hard for you. And yeah, it's not ever easy. It's just not. But you just have to, they need to know that you're there and you need to really be listening, you know? And that's in the room and outside the room too. So it's just something you just gotta get into the habit of doing, and it's gonna be important. And you know what's crazy too? I realize, like, as we get older, as you know, and our teenage problems become young adults and adult problems too, you know, you realize you're always have to, you know, be there and be able to create that situation where you can go. You can talk. If you gotta say what's on your mind or want to talk about something, we can talk about it. It's awkward, it's hard, but the more it becomes a happy, you know, the more you create those opportunities, maybe create a rhythm with it or something like that, schedule a time, whatever it is, I think the less awkward it'll be. But yeah, no, I mean, maybe there are times where it's like, I'll come home from walking the dog and I'm like, uh-oh, what went down? I'm like, crap. I just want to, like, go upstairs and chill, and I'm like, nah, better go see what's going on here, you know? Like, so yeah, they're gonna want to talk to you about it. They should talk to you about it. You just have to, like, step in there, make them know that you're available, and listen, listen, listen.
Love it. Ollie, this is one that we've kind of talked about this before. I think we talked about this with James Robilata. We're going to tackle it again because it's important and it's something that we, you know, probably a lot of parents deal with in terms of games and teaching, you know, winning and sportsmanship. So Marcus from Chicago writes, Ollie, my 8-year-old just got into chess. It's basically his whole world right now. We play every night, but here's our problem. I'm way better than him. If I go easy, he knows. If I don't, he loses pretty much every time. I don't want to crush his confidence or make him hate the game of chess, but I also don't think letting him win sends the right message or teaches him much either. What's the right move here? How can I compete with my kid without babying him or breaking his spirit?
Well, it's interesting, right? You're entering that level where your kid will eventually mop the floor with you, because that's what my kid does physically, in lots of things, right? Like, it is I'm a, it's a I'm it is long gone in the rear view when I would just school him on a video game. You know, it's crazy. It's crazy. He's so surpassed me in so many things. It's amazing. It's been a few years now, I think. But look, I mean, it's pretty simple. You know, just imagine dealing with anyone who's really not too far away from your caliber. Give yourself a handicap. You know what I mean? Maybe losing the queens too much, but maybe start there. You know, give up a couple pieces on the board. You know, give him a concession. Just be straight up. Because if he knows, your kid is going to get good quick. You know, and they know. They're aware. If you're throwing the game, that's that. You know what? That's not gonna get him or her better. So, give up a couple pieces on the board. You know, it's so funny too, because that's something he spoke me on. I remember all I knew were the moves, and then he just could see. I'm just like, dude, I play it like checkers. Like I could go like 2 moves ahead, Neil. You should be able to read this by now. You're like, wow, not a lot going on there. But yeah, I just give up a couple pieces. Yeah, and start that handicap there. Also, it's crazy too. There's a lot of, like, computer, you know, this whole computer thing is starting to catch on now. But I think, like, yeah, he may just, oh, you know what too? It's summer. Put him in a camp. Put him in a camp. You know what I mean? There might be better minds than you that could really ratchet him up a bit. 'Cause, you know, you only know 2 speeds. Go hard or, you know, just quit. So yeah, I'd say put them in a camp, and I guarantee you, like, there's computer levels and stuff like that too that would be pretty interesting as well. But I think it's pretty exciting because it sounds like you're relishing the fact that you're about to start having some amazing challenges, some amazing matches with your kid with chess. Sounds like you love chess too. So yeah, just get him where he needs to be. Get him where he needs to be. Camp.
Yeah, just totally outsource the parenting to a chess playing counselor.
Yeah. Some kid with a bad mustache. He's probably making 20 an hour. You know how much people make now? What? This is crazy.
Yeah, well, that's a whole other episode about income inequality, I suppose. But let's do one more. And then we'll wrap it up.
Let's
Tariq.
go.
Tariq from Dallas writes, "We have a family rule. If you fart, you say excuse me. My 10-year-old has now decided to weaponize this. He'll let one rip in the car and whisper, excuse me, like it's a punchline, and then act we're overreacting. My wife wants to crack down. I'm kind of impressed. Is this a discipline issue or just a budding comedian testing material?"
Judging from my reaction, my suggestion is the latter. We all have our different absolutes in our households, I would wager that it sounds like your wife might have some more firm ideas on passing gas and its tone and how it should be addressed than maybe you do, or maybe like your son does. It's a tricky one. It's a tricky one. I know that I have a bias to go and it's just a fart. You know what I mean? It's just a fart. The only thing I'd say is, and this is actually kind of coming, I feel like this is when we had James on. I feel like he just had a really great way of addressing things as respecting the individual parent as an individual. Instead of looking at it as absolute rules, like this is what we do, I feel like the one thing I'd say is, and maybe this matters to you, but certainly for your wife's sake, I would say, listen, thank you for saying excuse me. Just so you know, mommy would really appreciate it if you said it a little louder because it doesn't, she finds it more offensive, you know? And I think that's more about saying, not to placate mommy, but to, just kind of recognize that we as parents can have different values or, just, I feel like sometimes it's like when you get into this thing of like, okay, what you did is wrong, it's such a stark thing versus going, hey, this is something that means something to me. And we're a family. We love each other. We want to respect each other, like as individuals versus just as these hard rules. And I think that kind of helps because, ultimately we are two different individuals coming together as parents, right? So I think that's one way of looking at it. Because personally, I think farts are funny.
I think we should leave it there. Farts are funny.
Yeah. A lot of zingers today. Once I got through, my controversial political statements, I was able to wrap up fatherhood the best way I know how, with sound bites like I just had a fried Twinkie for $2.72. The old days, Neil. The old days.
Goodbye, Ollie.
Goodbye. Goodbye, sweet career. Oh, man.